Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 202. We are the video game source for you, the casual gamer. My name is Brayan Oski.
And I'm Austin Rouse. On this episode of The Inner Gamer, we talk about Red Dead Redemption 2 Online. And in news, we have a long-winded discussion about Activision's CFO being fired, joining Netflix, and Blizzard CFO leaves, along with the state of the video game industry. And will it crash? And in our discussion topic, we talk about our top five most anticipated games of 2019. And we have a special guest. So without further ado, cue that music.
Hey guys, this is Patricia Somerset, voice of Princess Zelda from Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Ash from Rainbow Six Siege. Just wanted to say hello, and you are listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is January 15th, 2019. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to donate to make the show better. For as little as $5, you can help support all of our content so we can keep bringing you the highest quality content each and every week. You can also now join in the conversation and play games with us in our Discord channel. Check out the link in the show notes. Today, we're excited. We have a special guest on the podcast. Today, we have... Ty, also known as Art of Struggle. Ty, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Heck yeah. So, a little bit about you, how we met you. You came to one of our meetup events last year, Community Brewery, and you were the grand prize winner.
I've never won anything in my life.
Seriously?
That was the best day of my life.
Was that really? Oh, man, that's awesome.
I don't win
anything. That.
I'm not like a lucky person in the sense of like, I don't play the lottery and win. I never like win scratch offs and shit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
If the magicians like pick, like, I don't play like off. But when I do play, I never won shit. And that's why I hate gambling. So,
I take it you probably hate loot boxes too.
I hate loot boxes. I hate just the chance, the random chance. I want to know what I'm going to get. If I pay for something, I'm going to get what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
How nice. Gaming used to be.
Yeah, how
right,
gaming used
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. Yeah, so. That's right.
Well, so, you have a podcast and you cover movies, technology, games,
yeah,
and pop culture.
Yeah, pretty much just the gambit of like the things that I do for a living. I work in like 3D and visualization and stuff like that. So my job before I got my own company and started doing it for myself, I was making VR for companies like Bell Helicopter and Uber and just different companies like that, the Army, and we did like VR experiences for them. The new, if you guys ever see CES, there's a new like drone Uber. Like I was a part of the team that helped like, you know, get that together and stuff like that. So, but apart from that, I mean, it's just fun podcasting just to give back to the community. I mean, that's why I got into it. CG, yeah. VFX, movies, all that stuff. That stuff's fun. That's what I love to do. So
that's awesome.
When did you start the podcast and why did you start the podcast? Is there a necessity you need to fulfill or something like that?
Yeah, I started it a year ago. Like, I think I just started on audio just because I felt like I wanted to give back to the community that like got me to where I was, because like 3D and like the industry has given me my livelihood, you know, like that's what I do for a living. That's how I make most of my money, you know, and I make a lot of money doing it. So it's, I want to give back to the people who are coming up, you know, like, and if they can see like, this is what you got to do, or this is how you can approach it. Just different aspects like that. You know, that's why I bring, you know, industry people to come and talk about what they do and how they do it, just so that, you know, before you get into the industry, okay, it's not easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. But if you stick in, you know, if you stick with it and you do what you got to do and you get yourself good enough, man, you can do anything with this industry. So,
2019, what can we expect?
2019, from the Art of Struggle, I mean, a ton of stuff. I'm doing a lot more interviews. I'm going to go rooftopping with my friends Hi-Viz. We're going to be doing downtown Dallas, and it's going to be fun. I'm going to interview them, talk about why they do that. It's super dangerous, but, you know,
wait.
I'm a little bit of a fear junkie. So.
What is rooftopping?
Rooftopping is when you go out and you find a very tall building in downtown Dallas or somewhere, anywhere, and you go find a way up to the roof and you take awesome pictures. And, you know, you guys have probably seen those guys who parkour and
stuff like that.
That's kind of rooftopping too, but photographers do it to get the cooler shots. And
but are they like climbing up the side of the building?
Yeah, some of them are. Like some of the people who are like the rooftoppers, like they do like the parkour. So the guy that I'm going to go with, he's just like a really good photographer. He doesn't really do any of the parkour stuff, but like some of the people he hangs out
right,
with
right.
Are definitely like those kind of guys. And yeah, it's a thrill. And I want to know, like, man, is the thrill worth it? Kind of. And I go at it from different angles. And, you know,
so you're going to start rooftopping too?
I'm not going to start rooftopping. I'm going to rooftop one time and that's it.
One time, man.
One time. I'm trying to convince Amber to go with me. She's like, yeah, I'll wait for you at the bottom of the building.
You know, as a public yeah. safety officer, I have to say, you must be careful. And I'm not listening.
Say, like, yo.
I'm not listening.
He didn't hear any of that. Didn't talk about anything, but yeah.
So it happens. If I have to go on a call and you're on it, I'm going to be upset.
Like, oh my God, I got this guy on my podcast. I got to delete this episode now. You know, but yeah. Apparently, he was friends with a firefighter. How come this firefighter couldn't tell him he was a jackass?
I can't because he's dead.
He's dead. You're a dead jackass. Sorry, yeah. I digress.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but just a ton of stuff is going to be coming out. More interviews. One of my friends, the creative director, he's going to be helping me host more. Going to be doing another podcast soon with her brother. He does video for a living. So, yeah, we're going to do that. And, yeah, just a ton more stuff. Ton more interviews. Ton more tutorials from awesome people. I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm working full-time. I have my own company, so I'll try to squeeze all that stuff in between and hopefully be able to give people more about behind the scenes of how I do what I do.
All right. So let's talk about some video games. So I want to open up with Ty, our special guest here, because you've been playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption 2 online, and me and Austin played it for a little bit. We talked about it on the podcast, like back in 2018, I think it was 2018.
Yeah, it was 2018.
And it was like, we just touched into it.
We're like 2 weeks into 2019.
We didn't know much about it, but you've been playing a lot more and you have some thoughts about it. Tell me how things have changed from like then to now and what your verdict is about RDR Online.
Okay. Before I go into online, I think I need to caveat that I think the story mode of Red Dead Online is beautiful. It's a well done game, well written, well produced. The scoring is amazing. The artists that did that, they're freaking fantastic.
Right.
But the online economy of Red Dead Redemption 2 is probably going to be its downfall. I think that the amount of monetization and just downright lack of things to do is going to be the detriment of that game. Because when it came to GTA 5, the things that they had unrolled by the time that they were asking us to buy shark cards was so much. I think by that time, you could buy a company, you could buy a biker gang, you could do a bunch of stuff. But the problem with Red Dead Redemption 2 Online is that you got three things to do. Maybe four. You can hunt, you ride your horse around. There's no heist yet or anything to do with your friends, really. You know, there's just nothing to do in this world. You're just a cowboy in the middle of nowhere. Like, you can join contact missions, which is like the three things that they have: horse racing, team deathmatch, and big team deathmatch.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally it. And you're asking me to shell out actual money, actual real money to buy gold for what? To do what? To ride a horse around?
Hey. Every second counts.
That's ridiculous.
Would you say the people here are like, well, it's a beta, so yeah, they're trying to
It's a beta, but I feel like that's just Rockstar. That's not a real beta. This game has dropped. This game is out. Stop. It's not a beta. Whoever's telling you it's a beta, it's not a beta. This ain't no beta. Betas don't come out for 3 years. It doesn't happen like that. This game is out. If it had been out sooner, we would have seen more flaws. They just haven't polished. They haven't fully fledged all the stuff that they want to put in there. And I think it's because they want to make more money off of it. I think they want to release it in a manner where, oh, guess what? We're dropping new horses, guys. Ooh, but here's another couple of So they're trying to set up money before story. And you're going to lose a ton of people before anybody wants to buy any of it. Because what's there to do? Like, yeah. I've got three outfits. I played the game for maybe a weekend and I literally can't find another reason to go back online. I literally haven't found a reason. GTA, every hour on the hour, they're like, oh, we've just got added new rockets. We've got added new cars. You can fly now. I'm like, what the fuck? GTA 5 makes you feel like that ex-girlfriend that like wants you back and she's like trying to entice you and stuff. I'm like, yo, there's so much stuff to do on GTA 5, which would even almost justify the ridiculous char card you get for it.
Yeah. When I think even comparing it to like, you know, doing the comparisons you just made, like with Red Dead Online, you can have, you can add more cosmetics to, you can keep adding more and more and more, but there's only so much you can do within that time period.
Cosmetics,
you
know what I mean? is good, like, and well, but where are the stories? Yeah. Where are the contact missions? When I landed in GTA 5, mission already, ready to go. You can call, what's his name? Lamar. You can call, what's his name? Martin. You can call all these people on your phone just to give you different missions. Who can I call in Red Dead Redemption to give me a mission? You get like 15 of those yellow missions, then it's delivering stuff. I don't want to be a postman. That's not what I want to do. That's not my job. That's not what I'm trying to do.
That's not the Wild West. Yeah, you don't just run around on the.
I'm not a like, hand them this satchel. Cool. How make me a cattle rustler or something? Let's rustle up some cattle with my friends. Like, you know how in GTA, there's a game mode where you do something similar, where you have to like round up all these cars. Let's round up some cattle. Let's make it interesting.
That would be good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let me run a ranch. Let me be able to buy a ranch. You know, like, let me own
grow
a stable.
Crops, you
let
know?
Me let me grow some.
Make it like Stardew Valley.
That's the thing.
In
it's 3D. Like in GTA, you could do that. You could get your own business going. You could get the club. You could get all three. You know, the illicit drug businesses that you could do.
Set up a brothel.
You can set like, up a brothel. Like,
that's what they what need. Like, yeah.
I want to own a saloon. I'd love to own a saloon. Come through to my saloon. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you're gonna put that behind a paywall, Rockstar. That's what you're gonna do. You're gonna put it behind the paywall, and it's gonna be ridiculous to get it because that's what they're setting it up for. And if they don't play their cards right, which they're looking like they're not going to, you're gonna release a lot more before you start throwing buy me on stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think it would have been better had they, because like they had an interesting process with this where they brought out the game and then month and a half later they brought out this, they promised they were going to within a month bring out Red Dead Online, and then they put the label beta on it, and that was what happened. Do you think it would have been better had they waited say 6 months or 8 months and then middle of next year, like in the summer slog, been like, hey, guess what? Your Red Dead's been sitting there collecting dust. Maybe, maybe not. Here's Red Dead Online. Like, get that game out again.
Maybe that's their plan.
That's kind of what they did with Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto. How long did it take for, you don't remember?
It was a month,
right?
September, it came out, the actual release date of 5, and then online came out October 1st.
Okay.
In 2013.
Yeah.
So the reason it's still getting content right now is because it's proven to be successful and a lot of people still play it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to know the numbers on it. And I think
it's got a lot of concurrent players. Like,
and it didn't get
for all these years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took a while to do that,
it's
too.
It's still the highest, like one of the highest grossing like online games today.
Right.
It's ridiculous how much it's made them. And that's the problem is I think that Rockstar saw that formula. They were like, that formula works.
But they don't know what they're doing with this one. It's a whole different... I mean, it's the same thing, but
It's a different ball game because you're dealing with two different time zones. So the content that you can produce for it are vastly different. You're talking about centuries where like there's technology, and then you're talking about steam-powered shit. It's going to be hard. You know, you're not going to be able to make as many trinkets and gadgets. You know, you got to be creative with this. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's get a saloon. Let's get a ranch. Let's get these different things that you can do to make the game more fun. But
we talked about on a previous
76
podcast.
Yeah, right? Base building.
We talked about on a previous podcast. I was like, they had fun with the first Red Dead Redemption when they brought out that like zombie undead nightmare thing.
I called that before it even
like,
came out.
I want that to be something that they do with this. Like online and just go zany with it. Like just have fun. Like have me freaking, I don't know.
Undead horses.
Let me attach jetpacks to the back of my horse and have them fly around.
Well, they could do events kind of like any of the games are doing now. And just have a few like cool release stuff. Like Overwatch does it, like play a certain amount of time or like complete all these objectives. It keeps people coming back and you get this
cool
stuff.
They don't have that. There's nothing like that in Red Dead Redemption right now. And that's the problem. It's like,
I wonder if they've...
You've got a small window before people start bailing and not playing.
I wonder if they're not allowed to spend any more money on the beta or just online in general.
That's an interesting one.
They're like, okay, we got to generate some revenue from the beta in order to continue building.
I feel like they'd have enough from sales of the product.
But the way
itself,
that everything's kind of been going with the industry in general, like people are like pulling back. I mean, in general, game companies and tech companies are starting to decline in the stock. So a lot of investors are leaving. So maybe there's some kind of...
Well, it's our economy.
Why is
it
in beta? Why is it so long?
Here's when it comes to money. The first thing that goes when people get broke in the economy is frivolous things like video games. Nobody's buying that when the economy's in, you know, with the stock market being where it is, that's probably one of the last things people are thinking about, you know. But when it comes to Rockstar, it's like one of those companies that has more money than God kind of thing. Like, it's like Coca-Cola. You know they got money. Like, that's God money. You know, you can't even mess with that, you know. Yeah. And that's the kind of money they got. You know, they got lots of billions of dollars. They can throw money around. You know.
Oh yeah.
But they're not in the acquiring of like people. They're caring more about money than they're caring about people, which is going to be a downfall because their previous games, you can tell Rockstar almost had something to prove to people. They were like, they would release like, what was it, Kane and Lynch, and they would release the Mafia game, and then they would release a Red Dead Redemption, and they would do like story. Big story game, and they were like, we're trying to give you these good stories, we're trying to give you mechanics and story, we're polishing this, we're going to polish it with these two games, and then GTA is the flagship of the culmination of all these game mechanics coming together, and then that's what you make, and that's how that's like their map since their beginning with Manhunt and like how all the GTA, so they test it on these other games and then they make it big. But now with GTA 5 and that billions of dollars that they made, it's gone to their head. Now they're thinking, wait, I don't have
to. Let's see if we can do it again.
I don't have to. Let's see if we can rinse and repeat what we just did, but it's a different game. Yeah. You're in a different avenue. You can't do that same thing anymore. You know,
you just delivered like a badass single player game. They expect something badass for multiplayer. So why can't we have that too? I mean, okay, they put all the resources in single player. Great. Like, that's fine. But like, I don't know. Maybe they're just waiting to get more revenue. Cash is still flowing in. They've already made a lot of money, but I mean, if you think about investors, like, what do they want? What are they expecting? Again, I feel like the industry is kind of like, let's roll back some stuff right now. We can't just drop a bunch of money like we used to. And this is when art and, you know, being a major company
kind of collide.
Yeah. And just like before, you kind of do whatever you want. Maybe it didn't cost that much. We're still kind of early in the gaming industry, so people are like, you know, you can kind of work people a little harder and longer than you normally would. And as of now, it costs more to do that.
Yeah. Game art is expensive.
Yeah.
Game art is probably the most expensive part of game design and game making. Getting all that art, all that shit functional, making sure my poly count is right so that when it goes into the game, it doesn't break or it doesn't crash the game. Yeah. You know, because, man, I've heard nightmare stories about like somebody leaving like a you know, turbo smoothed box or something in a game and the game crashes and that guy got fired, you know, like, like you don't make mistakes. Like there's crazy things that happen that, you know, so it's interesting. And Red Dead, I feel like they can do so much better. And that's my biggest thing is like Rockstar, you can do better. You know, you can do better, but you're choosing money over people right now. And if you don't learn from EA and the backlash that they've gotten or Bethesda, then you are going to go, because Rockstar just gets so many passes. I don't know why. I think it's because they kind of made themselves into like the bad boys of like, you know, they're like, I don't care. You know, they fought against the government for a while when their games were like, they feel like the bad boys of the industry.
Yeah.
You know, EA couldn't get away with what Rockstar does to us.
No.
You know that, right? Yeah. Like, can EA be like, hey, I need you to pay, give me real money for something I haven't delivered?
Yeah. But when you look at it, I mean, I think the reason why they get such a pass is because Rockstar, with those kinds of flaws, still puts out a badass single player experience. So you know, like you drop $60, Red Dead Redemption 2, like you got a badass game. You know what I mean? So like you can kind of give it a little pass there, whereas like EA, they bring out their game and like it's all about they have a multiplayer experience and like then they give you like a 2-hour single player experience and that's all you get with Battlefield 5 or you know with the freaking Star Wars Battlefront. It's like let's give you all online basically, you know, and that's got microtransactions everywhere. See,
for me, Battlefront is just Battlefield with Star Wars skin.
Yeah,
that's literally what I think it is.
But not even. And I wanted just a Battlefield Star Wars skin thing, and we didn't even get that.
It was the first one was so clunky.
It was so clunky.
The second one is still super clunky, but it's refined a lot of what the first one is done and done it better. But I'm telling you, EA couldn't get away with. They tried to microtransaction us for Darth Vader. The internet lost their minds.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was some bullshit.
The internet lost their minds. Like, people were like, are you kidding me? 12,000 gold for one Darth Vader suit? You know how many hours that would be? I'm like, yo, that's like a couple of hours of gameplay. What are y'all talking about? They're like, no, EA, you guys are the worst. I'm like, damn, EA just can't get right with this. Like, it's crazy.
No, they cannot.
They can't get right with it. The Rockstar will be like, oh, poop on me. I don't care, Rockstar. Your game's going to be amazing. Oh, I'll take it with me. I'm like, why are we sadists for Rockstar?
I mean, I think it's 2K, really.
It's 2K?
Like, I'm always looking back at the parent company at this point because if there's something fishy going on, like
Take-Two.
Microtransactions. Take-Two. It's always the parent company. EA, Activision with Blizzard. It's really bad. Yeah. So, I mean, I would bet it's Take-Two.
Yeah.
They're like, everything's dropping. We need to save money.
Yeah.
So this is the best you got. It's all you can release. It's not Rockstar to just kind of release something like that. I mean, how was GTA 5 online?
Well, GTA 5 online had some shit. Okay.
It was terrible.
Remember, they didn't have bank heists for like 6 to 8 months.
That's true.
People were pissed about that.
For a very long time. Yeah. And it was like Hackathon. It was like Hackathon 3000 for a year straight. Like,
especially on PC. Oh my gosh.
There was like a Santa Claus just dropping money bags and like it was nuts for a while. Like it was like the Wild Wild West for a video game.
Personally, I was really surprised how well GTA 5 did online because I played GTA 4 online quite a bit, but I played on PC where I could just like mod the shit out of it. And like they had no protection of anything. So you could download mods and I had people in there that like had like unlimited rockets. So they could just shoot at people and like win the game. And it was just, that part was kind of bullshit. And they were never able to really figure out online.
Yeah.
But this new one, I mean, I guess because of all the content they've rolled through it, that just kept people wanting to come back despite all the bugs and problems with it.
That's what it was. It was that they had just so much content. And that's what I thought this was going to be, is like, they're going to overload us with so much content that I'm going to be like, oh, it's like, they're twisting my arm. I'll buy the stupid thing. But there's no content. You're giving like, what? I will not put a single dollar into Red Dead Redemption. I will not put a single dollar until you've at least given me 50% of what GTA 5 has.
Yeah.
I won't. I'm not even going to do it with you guys this time. I'm not ready for it.
Well, it's going to be a while, I think.
It's going to be a good minute. Yeah. It's going to be a good minute.
Well, let's move on to the next topic of discussion here.
We put a lot of time.
You want to?
I'm sorry, man.
That was good. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And if you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and tell a friend. We're going to come back here shortly with our news for the week.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share what's hot from the week in the gaming industry. This week, we have a lot of hot takes going on, including Activision and Blizzard has had a lot of rough patches in recent weeks. Mm. They've lost their CFO at Activision.
That's an understatement, Brett.
The CFO of Activision left, and he joined Netflix most recently. And then after that, Blizzard's CFO gets picked up by Jack Dorsey from Square, also the founder of Twitter. And Activision, Blizzard both don't have CFOs in both places. They have new people that replace them, but they lost executives back to back 2 weeks in a row. It's pretty crazy.
It's a shakeup.
It is a shakeup. And to add to that, before this, they've been having all kinds of internal issues with people at Blizzard saying that there's some trouble, you know, going on. Like, they're starting to pull back on different, like, you're starting to cut corners. People are starting to leave. They're like paying people, it sounds like, to leave a little bit. Diablo Immortal was announced. Like, I mean,
it's a conspiracy. The Illuminati is on this.
It is.
Illuminati confirmed, guys. We got it.
So, yeah. What do y'all think about this, this whole debacle that's happening here at Activision Blizzard? And their stock's dropping. So there's that too.
I don't think it's too hard or too far to say that we're going to see a crash here pretty soon. Mm. I know one of your podcasts, you were talking about that too. Your last one.
Oh, yeah.
And how you want to make that into a bigger. So maybe here you can talk about some thoughts you have on this.
Yeah. But. Well, okay. So these companies, I feel like it depends on, it's like a case to case. With Activision splitting, that's a good, because I feel like Bungie. They have their name back. They have their IP back. They left with their IP. So that's a win. If you're a Destiny fan, if you're a Halo fan, I'm a Halo fan. I'm a Halo dork, you know? For me, it's like, yes, they're in control again. Because every time I think about Activision with company, like Infinity War, think about how that went down. Terrible. Call of Duty has never been the same.
No.
Hasn't been the same since then.
I'm glad you agree with that, because some people like disagree with that statement.
Are you kidding me?
Call of
Duty is garbage now.
Yeah, it's so bad.
I'm sorry. Halo's garbage now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I loved the franchise when the passionate people that were behind it were making it. When it's these big brother companies get in the mix and start, you know, they ruin it. They just ruin games. So I think, yes, Bungie gets their... This is, everything's coming home. Let them make their own stuff. Activision, do what you got to do. Make whatever Onimusha. I don't even remember what last title you owned to yourself. Like,
Guitar Hero.
So, what do you call when a company starts going bad? Is it liquid or is it toxic? Or
I mean, liquidation is when they like sell off all the assets and stuff like that.
Well, I feel like people coming into the gaming industry now. I mean, like we're seeing right here in this article is that they're coming in and, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know why, but, you know, I feel like they're seeing what's going on. They're seeing the decline in stocks, which people, you know, obviously look at and try to gauge the future from. They're like, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go somewhere else where something's more stable. And with tech and with gaming industry stock all dropping and having negative consumer backlash on the console now.
Oh, yeah.
It's like for the past 4 months, it's been nothing but just bad news after
bad news. Bad content.
Bad PR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people are like, I don't want to be part of this. And I don't want to, like, maybe these companies are thinking we need to start giving up some of these IPs because we need to go under. Like, we just need to stop this.
And that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy in a world where Disney's buying everything, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, isn't that crazy? Like, gaming industry is like just busting out at the seams because they don't know what to do with all the, you know. But Disney out here just acquiring. They're acquiring Star Wars. They're acquiring Life. They're acquiring your mom. They're acquiring everybody.
Mom
is owned by Disney now. All your story now costs $39.99 to listen to. It's crazy.
I think what happened with these big AAA companies is that things have moved so fast in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. Like we've gone from, you know, Mario Kart 64 to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
That's like night and day difference.
Right.
And you now have teams that are 3, 4, 5 times the size as they used to be, spending the same amount of time or more on these games.
Yeah.
So like, they've ramped up so quickly, and I think they haven't really educated themselves in how to do that the right way. They scale too fast, basically.
Oh, that's
and
a
I think
huge
that's
problem.
Artificially
in the
trying to game.
Okay,
a system
it's because
in a gaming world,
studio heads, when it comes to like how they think about their finances and fiscally, they're thinking, all right, my game is going to make this. And then you try to project, if my game sells 1 million copies, this is how much revenue I'm going to get. So they do their purchasing. They do their hiring based on that. So if I can take that, because you can take that to the bank. I'll take that to the bank. They'll give me a loan. I can hire this many people. All right. And that's happened to me in the industry where they'll hire. You'll see it a lot of times. When a game starts, they'll hire a bunch of people. Surplus. There'll be like 5 modelers. you know, 3 animators, you know, 16 programmers. Everybody's living life. Everybody's got Dunkin' Donuts every day. Y'all eating good every day. All right. 1 year passes. All right, man. A few of the people's gone. Now it's like 3 modelers, 2 animators, 10 programmers. All right. Okay. We're still here. Everybody, the core is still here. 3 years when the game is about to be released, you're going to get a skeleton crew. You're going to get 1 modeler to do, you know, 1 animator, 3 programmers, you know. So they scale back as the, you know, because the needs of these people go just die out throughout the cycle. So like me, I'm a modeler. So I'll be on the project for maybe 3-4 months, you know. I'll do my models, model texture, do everything, and then I'm done. I'm just sitting around if anything fucks up down the line and they have to send it back to my department. But if they do, that's more money because some people, it might, depending on like what my day rate is, think about that times like 100. Yeah. You know, that's how many people for one day to bring all these people in this department to fix that one thing. It's very expensive. So they want to put all that money in a different place. So they're cutting people throughout the cycle. And that's what I always try to tell people when they're getting in the industry is that you got to realize this, you ain't in this for long term. There's going to be their core crew. There's going to be the core crew that the company's Blizzard's going to keep their core crew. But then during like games, like when stuff is coming out, like updates and stuff, they'll hire more people. They'll hire, you know, a bunch more people, and then they'll just shed it. They'll shed it. So you'll hear all these layoffs, but that's like the normal cycle of gaming. But what the problem is right now is there's a level of overworking versus like the artwork that's coming out. And that's what the big issue is. It's like, there was a time when I could crunch 48 hours, you know, on a game, and it was cool if it was my thing. If it was, you know, and it was acceptable back then. You know, like you hear stories about the guys in Disney. They'll camp under the desks of their, you know, when they were making Toy Story. And for artists, like, man, that's beautiful. That's passionate shit. Not today. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, those days are over.
Those days are over. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I got kids. I got people I got to see at home. Yo, I got to go. And that's where the difference is. So when you can't create the same level, like, because the game content right now requires a lot of stuff. And if you can't match that, you're dead in the water. So the industry just has to like figure out how people can work their regular hours and still be able to make that money.
Yeah.
I've heard people are trying to get talks and like the gaming industry needs to create a union.
They don't allow us to unionize. They don't allow unions in the game industry.
Now, I don't know if it would be a good thing or a bad thing to do that or not, but I just recently watched a documentary called Installation 01, mm-hmm. which is a group of Halo fans mm-hmm. who were on PC, and Halo 3 never came out, and so they went on this journey in 2014, 2015 mm-hmm. to begin like creating a mod.
El Dorito? Is that what it was called?
No, I think it's Constellation 01.
Oh, Constellation 01.
Yeah, okay. So it's like they're creating a mod for Halo 3, and they've been working on it for like 3 years now. People all across the world who love this, like love Halo, and trying to make this thing. And even Microsoft was like, yeah, you guys have our blessing. Like, go for it. You're not breaking any laws or anything. And it's funny to see like something so great, because they're pretty far along. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not amazing, but it's something on PC that's Halo that you can play that's pretty up to date, has decent graphics and stuff. And it's like, man, people putting their heart and soul into something that they believe in, not even getting paid for it.
See, and that's the
like
thing.
That's the kind of passion that we used to have. And nowadays, I feel like if you're in the gaming industry and you've been there for a while, all these guys who were like that are grown up. And then obviously the game is changing around the financials of everything.
Yeah,
because people come in and out, and then becomes a public traded company.
Yeah. And the pay is kind of stagnated in the sense that like what we should be making compared to what we are making isn't where it should be for the amount of work that we put in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have like non-mandatory hours where like if you're past hours you still have to come in and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Or it's like 40-hour work weeks.
You have to come in on Saturday or something. You know, just little stuff like that. But you know, at the companies that I've worked for, they've been good enough to be like, if you're gonna come in work extra, you're going to pay double for extra.
Yeah.
You know, if you, so that's been the good, you know, but there's just, it's just the industry. And that's why I think it's going to pop is we don't have, it's not easy enough to make the games yet. It's getting there, but it's not easy enough where they, you don't require hundreds of people to do it. You can be like, I have a friend. I don't know. I always say I have all these friends, but I do have a friend who made a game. It's called Nilo. He made it with his wife, and the game was picked up by Unreal, and they funded it and everything like that.
Nice.
So yeah, two people made this game, and it looks like a triple A game.
Well, but, so much of that is happening now, where you have these indie developers that are able to just sit down and focus on these things and not be dictated by, you know, we have to spin out a new one every year. Yeah.
It took a lot. It took him 4 years.
Yeah.
And pretty much this is how he says it. He says it's like the game is about 4 hours of play. Every year is about four. It's about an hour of gameplay that he gets to make out of it. Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that in the grand scheme of things. Like, what would it take to make a full, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of people? Even though what you've got here is magnificent, it's awesome, it's so well polished, people have a hard time believing that it's an indie or one person that did it. So that's where we are in the industry. It's like, it's not easy enough, but it's not so hard that anybody can't get into it. Yeah. So it's like in this weird, weird state where if the equipment or the software that people are using to make it gets easier and people like you guys could just be like, all right, I can make a game within 3 weeks. That's going to change the game, right? Like, that's going to change how we make games, how we tell stories, how we interact with each other. You know, when the regular person can just create it just like that. But it's not. It's going to take you 4 years to put out something polished, ready to go, you know, like AAA. Like, I'm making a Doom or some shit like that.
You know, I'm curious to know what it's going to be like when we do reach that point, because I kind of compare it to where the video industry is now, where
we're going to get to where, like,
yeah,
you can just go to the store, you can start your own YouTube channel, and we're and that's how, you know, like
is in my mind, like, is that, like, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Because if you look at YouTube,
it's a double-edged sword.
There's a lot of great content out there, and there's a lot of really not great content out there. And it's like, but there's so much you have to sift through. So
yeah,
when the
gaming
industry gets to that point.
Oh, the gaming industry is already there.
Yeah. I mean,
have you ever been on Steam?
If you look at, like, Steam.
Have you ever been on Steam?
That's why you listen to this podcast, because we play all these games, especially all the bad ones, and we tell you which ones you should buy.
That's right.
Yeah, so,
This
is why this is why these podcasts exist, you know?
Yeah. That's
because
true. Curators.
If you believe in capitalism and if you believe in America's essential, like, free market system, then yeah, that's how it should be. Anybody can create whatever they want. And even Steam has been saying, like, all right, we're trying to, like, kind of keep track, because there was a while where they were like, no, we're not going to, like, try to stop any content. Like, we're not going to look at any content that we're putting on here. And people were like, are you kidding me? So anybody can make any, like, crazy, like, racist or, like, crazy, like, sexist game and, like, just put it on there. And people have done that.
We covered a few.
that shooting game, that school shooting thing that came out. That
there's
crazy.
A school shooting game?
There's a school
Hentai
shooting
Royale.
Game. Oh, yeah. Hentai Royale.
That was so...
I want to see this one.
I know. Too bad you can't play it now, but it was funny.
It was funny.
But you could tell it was just one of those things where it's like, I made something, now give me money for it.
Yeah, it was a cash grab.
My prediction right now for all of this that's going on right now is at the end of the day, or, like, very soon, we're going to see that mix-up where all the board chips are going to be thrown, and they're just going to land where they will, and you're going to have a bunch of indie guys who are going to
rise
up and become the next AAA titles.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing Obsidian, and Obsidian's basically a AAA title, or, like, developer at this point.
Yeah.
And now that they're making the Outer Worlds, and they're being, who they get picked up with? Who are they
Microsoft.
Working with? Microsoft.
Studios. Yeah.
And so, like, they are already in that transition to, like, be up there. I mean, they're about to show up Bethesda with...
It's going
to
be crazy.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see what everyone brings. Like, Ninja Theory? Like, I can't imagine what they're going to come...
Senua?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, the old guard is about to leave, and we have the new guard. It's just about to come right in. So,
and I think you're right, because what those kind of companies are called. I think I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's kind of like an Uber or Airbnb in the sense of that they're going to come through. They're going to shake up the market. They're not going to care who they're doing.
Disruptors.
Disruptors, you know, like industry disruptors. They're just going to come through. Hey, I brought my new way. You either with it, rolling along for the ride, or you're going to get left in the dust, old people, or old way of, you know, right, business. Right. And that's what's going to happen to the game industry, where there's just going to be new wave, adapt or die. Because y'all are going to be spending millions and millions on marketing. This guy goes on YouTube, says, hey, I made this game. Check it out, kids. Psh, he just made a billion. You know, like, something's going to happen where that's going to be the sphere. And the big AAA company spending all this money, they're going to have to look at it and be like, all right, what are we going to have to do to so it's going to happen. It's happening to the, you know, apartment industry. It's happening to taxis are, you know, like, it's going to happen in our industry, you know, and it's going to start probably with bigger games. But once like ATI, Radeon, like all the games that all the people that make the graphics cards, like when graphics stop evolving, I think that's when you're going to start to see like the next step in gaming that you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Where like we're no longer using polygons, because like at the rate we're going, I think it's 100,000 polys we're able to add to every game every year. Like that's what like the benchmark is. Like, all right, hey, this is what we've been able to, 100,000 more. Like you can have more leaves now. Hey, there's like three more people in the crowd. You know, like think about, you know, PlayStation 1 Spider-Man versus now Spider-Man. Hey, you know, there's dynamic lighting. There's time of day can change. You know, shit like that. We're getting more and more. But the moment that stops, that's when you're not going to get horizontal. You're not going to get vertical change. You're going to get horizontal change. So things are just going to get incrementally better. And that's what happened with video. You know, think about how we went from pictures to black and white to color to HD to, you know, and those booms kept happening. But then after a while, it's like, all right, we got to 1080 and 4K. And then where are we going? Where do we go after that?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to stop. You know, technology can only 5K, go
6K. So we're just going to go by K.
It's just K. Yeah. How many Ks are in your TV? Lots of Ks, AKs, you know, like, so
all the stuff. All right. Next topic we have, the Division 2 is coming out this year, everybody. Division 2 is coming out by Ubisoft.
Ooh.
And Ubisoft has announced that they are leaving Steam. They're not going to release it on Steam, but they're not just going to release it on their Ubisoft Uplay store. They're going to be releasing it alongside Uplay on the Epic Game Store.
That's
holy crap.
That's interesting.
I think I was kind of surprised. And I also just read today that Epic has also changed their return policy to be just like Steam, where they allow everything. Like you can return no matter what. Like you can just return stuff. So they don't have like a shitty return policy like Bethesda.
When you make that much money, you can just
give me the stuff.
Yeah. Look, yeah. I mean Steam is pretty gigantic and they're not always the best company, but when it comes to buying games online and downloading them and returning them, I think they have a pretty good setup. I mean, obviously the library, it's completely filled with trash, but I mean, there's some cool stuff in there.
It's like Netflix. It's like you'll watch like three things, but the rest of that shit is garbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I'm indifferent about this whole switch to Epic. And for them to move that way over to, or for Ubisoft to do that is pretty big. And I think it's definitely going to create a rift, but I feel like Steam can withstand.
Do you think that's going to be season? Do you think that'll be season 9 of Fortnite? They're going to create a rift, and all of a sudden, all these Ubisoft games are going to come into Fortnite, and then you'll see like Ubisoft characters and stuff.
That might be part of
that. That could be like a little thing. Yeah, that could be a thing.
Some underlying text there.
Hey, they sent what's his name, Gerald, to what, Soul Calibur, right?
Yeah,
you know, so
a lot of crossovers.
You never know. I don't know. I think it's interesting to see what all Epic is doing right now with the fact that, one, they launched a store. Like, that's just in itself a big thing. And then they got all these exclusives that they announced, like, right at the tail end of the year. And then leading into this year, now we got Ubisoft, which is a pretty huge player, to say, like, sorry, you can't get on Steam anymore. Like, it's going to be weird as a PC gamer, because you're going to soon have the same experience you have on Apple TV, basically, where like you log in, it's like you can pick your Netflix, you can pick your Hulu, you can pick your HBO, and like you have all this stuff that you have to pick from to like launch your game, as opposed to just picking your game and launching it from an application.
Mm-hmm.
Like now you have to go through a middleman to get to the application itself. So it's going to be
what kids think about this. Weird. Like, you know, teenagers and like young adults, like how they feel about all this stuff.
I don't think they care about that stuff. I think for them, it's about ease of access.
Yeah.
In my mind, because if I think back to when I was young, I'm thinking about what was the easiest thing for me to play, or what was the easiest thing for me to get my hands on when it came to gaming. You know, like if I had to go through like a bunch of menus and a bunch of buttons to play like a game that I was trying to play, like I wouldn't probably be playing that game. I'd play the game that was closest to me, or somebody just introduced me to, or, you know, that's how I was back in the day. Right. I wasn't more focused on how people are laying out their screens, or how they're laying out their content at the time. So, you know, the older you get, the more you pay attention to those things. And I think that's when the older gamers will start to come into play there.
See, back in our day, I mean, all the games are on the desktop. So it's just like you click it and it launches.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's ease of access.
The only launcher you had was BattleNet. And
yeah, maybe.
That wasn't a launcher. That was just a thing. Yeah.
But now, like, you click a game, the launcher comes up. Because this happens with me and Bethesda games. You click the game, it launches the launcher. Sometimes there's an update, so it's got to update restart, and then it brings up the launcher. And then doesn't bring up the game.
Yeah.
Then you got to click your game in the launcher.
Now there's a driver update. Then you get
so complicated.
Yeah. I think that's going to be like a lot of the things that deter people away from like making those switches over. Like nobody's just going to switch from Steam. Steam already has a good chunk of the marketplace.
Yeah.
And what people are going to probably do is like I have Netflix and Hulu. People are going to have Steam and they're going to go to the Epic store. And that's what's going to happen is people are going to, you know, there might be people who can only afford one. All right. Probably going to be Steam because that's the cheapest. It's like, what, $9.99 a month or some shit like that? And, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Steam doesn't have any kind of like subscription service yet, which I'm surprised they haven't developed one.
It makes
yet.
So much money.
They have the Humble. I mean, Humble Bundle has their thing. And if you get something to a Humble Bundle, like they have a subscription service that'll like unlock into Steam.
Yeah. Or Gamefly.
Gamefly has that. And then Discord just launched their Nitro. I've been looking at that thing. But I'm sure Epic Games is going to do it at some point down the line.
Yeah.
I saw, who did I see the other day that's working on a subscription service of some kind? Oh, Amazon's working on a game streaming service. So it's everywhere.
It's not going to end. Everybody's trying to grab a piece of the market, but you're going to need content. You're going to need good stories. You're going to need good stuff. Like nobody's just getting swindled anymore nowadays. People, like the thing is, because there's so much information out there, you're going to know if a game's shitty really quick. You know, you're going to know real quick how bad games are. Because there are people like you guys who go, like, well, do not play this game.
Exactly.
You know, like,
if we don't cover it, that means we don't like it.
You know what I'm saying? So.
No, but I heard some of the end user agreement stuff for, like the information you give them is not very good on the Epic Game Store. Like, it's a little shady.
Oh yeah,
especially when it goes with the GBR UK, it's like privacy stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. I heard about that. That caused a lot.
I haven't done enough research on it, but that's what I've heard, and I'm like, man, if that's true, I don't want to be on the Epic Store.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's not good. It's not good. Anyway,
ease of access. I'm telling you, that's the way to the future. Like people, you make your games less. The less complex it is for me to get to your game, the better.
Yeah. All right. So with that, that's going to wrap it up for our video game news. If you guys want to watch this in a video format, you can head over to youtube.com/theinnergamer and subscribe to get the videos as they come out. Stay tuned for our discussion topic. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Our topic this week is going to be on the greatest thing that I could possibly be excited about this year in 2019. Our top five most anticipated games of 2019.
Woo, woo.
I have to say, I'm glad we do this now because it always gets me hyped.
Hey, right? Yeah, you're just oh my gosh, look at all the stuff we got coming out this year. It's going to be insane.
Ty's dancing.
You guys can't see it, but definitely dancing.
You have no idea. It's like one of the latest Fortnite dance. It's just it's crazy.
It's called Ty.
It's called Ty. Yeah, right.
I'm suing. Yeah, everybody. I was gonna say.
Hey, you better get in line. You're gonna be right
everybody's
behind.
Everybody's suing.
Everybody.
Everybody's suing. Yeah. I didn't know. Like, all I had to do was get a dance famous. That's like, all I had to do.
Oh, Fortnite's got money. I want that.
I want that.
So in this conversation, we're going to be talking about, I know, right? We're going to be talking about our top five most anticipated games of this year. So we're going to go around the table. We're going to start with number five and then go up to our number one. And I'm sure we're going to have some like similarities here. But what's really exciting about this that I'm really hyped about, none of us know what we've picked. So it's going to be a complete surprise. I think I know what Austin's are already just because like I know him. But Ty, you're going to like probably super surprise me. Like I have no idea. Or you might like...
Because he doesn't know.
Or I don't know what it's going to be. We'll see. But what was interesting this year about when I was looking through the list, because I was anticipating 2019, I was like, man, there's a lot of exciting games coming out and that might be better than 2018.
And most then are when coming I started, out beginning of the year.
Yeah, yeah. But then when I started going back and looking through everything, I was like, I don't know if it is going to be as good. Like
there's
I'm
some games
sure.
that I think I want, but I don't know if it's out yet. Like, I don't know if it's coming out this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is some of them are, and just so everybody knows, like, some of these that are going to be announced may, they say they're 2019, but they
some of them are
obviously
TBA.
Might get pushed back,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Because there's some things that are up in the air. But anyway, let's start with number five. This is the fifth most anticipated game. I'm going to start just because
go for it.
I like to talk and everything.
Yeah.
My number five, this might surprise everybody, is, Crackdown 3.
Nice.
What?
I'm
nice.
Actually kind of hyped
I haven't
about
looked for Crackdown
3.
Since Crackdown never.
I know.
It's actually
but Terry
out.
Crews, man.
It's actually coming
it's
out.
It's Terry Crews.
Okay. If Terry Crews is going to be in it, I think
yeah.
so.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's, he's
yeah.
like the lead, and he's a badass, yeah. and I just think he's amazing, and I think Crackdown 3 is going to be great because of that. And I just want to blow shit up. Like, that's basically what Crackdown 3 is all about. Like, you get yeah. this open world, and it's like Just Cause, but it's a bit more zany and cartoony. Mm-hmm. And you get to be Terry Crews and just blow stuff up. And that just sounds amazing. So I'm hoping it's really, really good. And it's a Microsoft game, so I got to give them a little bit of credit that they got something coming out this year. And it's finally actually going to come out this year. So that's my number five.
Nice.
Crackdown 3.
Ty. Next, Ty?
No, come back to
okay.
me.
Okay. All right. So my number five is Days Gone.
Ooh.
Yes.
Days Gone.
So I was looking at first I was like, okay, another zombie game, whatever. Last of Us type game. And then the more I got into it, I was like, okay, this actually looks kind of decent. And then when they actually showed gameplay at E3, I think it was his last E3, or at some point when they released some gameplay, I was looking at it and I was like, God of War spoiled me. Because they have that long black screen pause between cutscenes and reality or like the mm-hmm. gameplay. And I'm like, man, I can't do that. Like games that do that now, like really, it really irks me. It's like, it's not fluid enough. And God of War did something special. And so that's why it's my number five. Otherwise, it'd probably be higher up on the list. The story seems decent and some of the acting doesn't look that great. But I mean, it's another PlayStation exclusive. So it's most likely going to be pretty good at least.
Spoiler alert. I did not put Days Gone on my list. Okay. I was going to. I really thought hard about this. And I was like, I just, for whatever reason, it just hasn't gripped me like
I wanted it to. Yeah, it's not.
And I don't know.
It's not amazing.
I don't know what it is, but I don't know.
It's almost there. It's like, cool. It's on the edge of being like really good, but there's like some little key aspects missing
yeah.
of it.
Oh, yeah. The, watch it like be the best game of the year.
We'll find out.
All right, Ty.
So for me, Jump Force. I'm looking forward to
nice.
Jump Force.
Heck yeah.
That game, just because of all the characters that it has and like how it has just a nostalgic feel for me because all those characters, One Piece, like, you know, Goku, everybody, you know? So, yeah, that's my number five.
Okay. I like that one. Yeah. When I saw that one, I didn't really understand what it was. I was like, is this Dragon Ball Z, like Fighter Z or whatever, returning or whatever? And then I saw all these other characters.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
I was pretty shocked. I was like, damn, that's nice. Yeah. So, all right, my number four here, near and dear to my heart, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Wow, number four?
Yeah.
I expect that to be like
number one.
I know,
yeah,
I know, but
that's
there's
a number one pick.
That,
it's always
okay,
been
so there's, so there's a lot. There's a lot coming out this year. And like my number one is probably going to shock everybody, but whatever. Kingdom Hearts 3 is on there. I've been a fan of Kingdom Hearts since the beginning. I haven't played all of them. but I played 1 and 2. I played like the core ones. There's all this other stuff. I just recently watched the 40-minute like recap. Like, here's what you need to know to get ready for Kingdom Hearts 3.
That's long.
And I was like, damn, there's a lot to this story. Game.
Oh my gosh.
It is incredible.
I'm glad I didn't play any of them.
No. Hey, you're going to have to play this one now. Well, I am awesome. Gonna play this one. I mean, you get to go through all these worlds. Like, I get to live Toy Story. And like hang out with Toy Story characters.
The reason I'm getting it, because
and then it's cool. Just yeah, I can't wait to get back into that game and just have the nostalgia of that combat system and the character interactions, and then just the depth that the whole entire is.
Yeah.
And the music is fantastic. Like, the music's really good too. So like,
yeah, those games are fun.
There's a lot of stuff in Kingdom Hearts I'm really hyped about. So yeah, that's my number four.
Cool. Well, my number four is Division 2.
Obviously,
Division 1 was not that great. And I feel like what they've showed so far, it looks pretty interesting. It looks like they kind of fixed a lot of the stuff that I had gripes with in the first one.
Division was great for like a month.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel
and
like
then you run out of content.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm scared is going to happen to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, that's very possible. Yeah. But I feel like they learned
from their mistakes.
Yeah. And this time they might bring it. Okay. So that's my number four.
So question, because you're going to get on PC. Are you going to get on the Uplay store or the Epic Games store?
Uplay store. Uplay, I'm staying away from Epic as long as possible.
Yeah.
But Epic Games, you get unlimited refunds.
No.
Okay. The thing is, okay, I mean, with new tech, I think it's like, don't be the first to jump on. Like,
yeah,
I'm never the first to like, oh, they got a new phone. No. Let me wait for a couple of generations, get y'all to iron out the bugs, and then I'll throw my money, you know, because I don't want to be part of your beta.
Exactly. And it's definitely in beta.
You learn a lesson from Red.
You won't burn me twice.
Yeah, so
I've been burned
two.
Before.
I like it.
Number four.
For me, it's Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Nice.
That game looks awesome. I want to play. I love ninjas.
Are you a From Software guy? Are you a fan of From Software games?
No, I haven't played any of their games.
Okay. No, so you're just going into it because I
love the way it looked, and I was like, all right, I think I like that.
Surprisingly,
game.
That did not make any of my list.
It didn't make my list either, because I found out today that apparently you have to be really good at parrying in this game.
And that's all I do. I play For Honor. For Honor guy.
Yeah, I'm terrible at it. So I'm
parry,
just like,
baby,
no
that's
thanks.
What I do.
It's yeah, but it looks fantastic. And it's apparently, from what I've heard, Game Informer just got to play 2 hours of it or whatever. And they were like, yes.
That's really good. Great. It's really good.
I'll pick it up, but it's not on my list.
Nice. So my number three, this is a asterisk number three, because it may not come out this year, but I feel pretty confident it's going to come out this year, because at this point it just has to come out because we're going to get a PS5 announcement this year. And I don't think they're going to put this on PS5. Death Stranding. That's my number three.
See, I could have put any of the ones that could possibly come out, but I decided not to do that just in case. No, obviously, those
will
be like
be out.
My
this
top
is
three.
Also my prediction.
Oh, okay.
All this right. is my this is like all of it. And I think it's going to come out this year, because I feel like it's so complete at this point. And we don't know what it is, but I feel like there's enough there now. Like, after that last trailer at, like, you know, PSX or not PSX, E3 last year, I was like, they had so much. And the fact that they're breaking away and doing their own thing, they're going to drop PS5 announcement of some kind. And I think they're going to have this is our one last hurrah. Well, this and then Last of Us will be the last hurrah.
You don't think Uncharted is going to come out? You don't think another Uncharted might come out?
I think that would come out.
I don't think
after Last of Us is done. Like, once they launch Last of Us, then they're going to announce it. But they're going to build up that hype probably for Last of Us until it drops. And then they're going to be like, all right, here it is. But definitely Death Stranding is on that list. I just want to know what the story is about. And I just think it looks really fascinating. The fact that they took an engine that was already out there and made it look so damn good on this console system. Like, and I just want to know. I want to know more. And I want to live in this world, and
nothing plays better on Xbox. It always plays better on PlayStation.
It does.
Exactly.
It's weird because I play Xbox primarily, but PS4 for some reason, the games feel smoother for some reason.
That's so good. So good.
Yeah.
All right. So my number three is Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, no way.
And I haven't played any of them, but I've been getting into more Japanese style
RPGs.
As everyone who listens to this podcast knows, Octopath Traveler was a first for me, so Kingdom Hearts 3 will be a first for me too.
You're gonna lose your mind when
even
you play
Monster
this game.
Hunter last year was a first for me. So a lot of Japanese firsts coming around here. So I'm ready.
Capcom,
just jump into this and like just get my feet wet, go full force.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
ready.
A fun story.
Ready. Did you watch the video, the recap video?
I haven't finished it yet.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah. It's so it's dope. Yeah, you.
I know there's a lot in that game, and I'm already just, like, what?
It's fascinating to me how like many different like pieces worlds and things that come together in that.
Oh yeah,
it's a really well told story. That's the thing. That's what I was saying about Japanese, like their writing and like how they try to tell stories. Like they'll just connect different dots, and yeah, like
so convoluted.
It's so convoluted. Mickey did this in this world and this. I'm like, what? Really? That's how you got there? All right, cool. Let's do this. Yeah,
right.
Can't keep up.
Yeah, for me, number three is going to be Mortal Kombat 2. Two or three? I don't know.
Two.
Wait, no. Two. Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes.
Oh, 11.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, two. Wait, 11.
But like
11.
XI yeah. and like all the, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. It had 21 Savage on the trailer for it. That shit was badass. I was yo, I'm ready for this.
Yeah, I'm ready. I've always been a big Mortal Kombat fan. Like, I've been playing Mortal Kombat since like the 64 days.
I think, Mortal Kombat was like one of my first fighting games that I've ever played.
And
in 64.
Oh yeah.
I rented that console from Blockbuster.
Yo, remember we used to rent consoles, man.
So
kids
crazy.
These days will never know the struggle, man.
No, they won't.
I will never know the struggle.
There was a
Mom, can I keep it for the weekend? It's gonna be double over the weekend. We ain't doing it.
Exactly.
I remember the first time I played Mortal Kombat on the 64. And my mom walks in the room, I had the end. See, what were they called? The final
fatality.
Thing. Fatality, and they like threw him into the pit with the spikes.
Oh, yeah.
It was like blood in her. She's like, "What are you playing?" I'm like, it's rated T for T.
Yeah, T for T.
I don't know.
Yo, didn't they go to like court or some shit for that? Like. Their shit was too gory.
They
got sued.
They always got in some kind of trouble for that.
Now it's just like they're just kind of removing spines. I'm just like, all right, let's do this.
Let's
go. That's where we are now.
Go for it.
It's amazing. So that was yours. Okay, now we're on number two.
Number two.
Oh man. All right. So now my number two. This also might surprise everybody. And this better come out this year.
Is there an asterisk on this?
No, this is no asterisk. Dreams.
Oh.
Dreams is my number two.
I forgot about Dreams.
I want Dreams so bad because I like sim like games. Like sim, I like Planet Coaster. I like playing City Skylines, Sim City, The Sims. And this is a thing that lets me play a game and build a game and do all these things without having to like figure out Unity and all that stuff. I just want to like make stuff.
Right.
And apparently the tool set in there is like really, really good. And then you can choose what you want to do. You can be either a game creator, you can be a game curator, you can be a person that just like makes little pieces of things. I think you can like do modeling or something like that. In it too, and all that stuff like contributes to your like overall like score thing. And then you can like give that out to the world, and everybody can jump in and play. And I just want to see what people create. Like, I'm just so excited to see. And I hope it doesn't
like
die off
little
quickly.
Big Planet, yeah. Like how people could create. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know what they should have? They should have two prizes. One, to just play games that people make. And two, to play games and to create games.
Well, so I think they're going to build some kind of like economy inside this eventually so that people that make games and dreams can actually make money off of their creations.
Right.
Rather than just like putting it out there for free. They might put something like that in there, which I mean, there's like gray area with that. Like, should they do that? Should they not? I think so. I mean, if somebody like painstakingly spends
like
tons of time,
yeah.
Like, you know, people like build Planet Coaster creations where they make these insane roller coasters that they spend hours upon hours on, or not like tens of thousands of hours or whatever. Like, yeah, I would like to give them some money to like, say, hey,
yeah,
this is awesome that this exists. Yeah. So Dreams is my number two. I'm
very nice.
Super hyped for that. And I want that beta. Apparently it's out somewhere in the ethosphere, but I don't know where it is and I can't get access to it.
Well,
so
mine, oddly enough, has a two in it. And it's Resident Evil 2.
Oh, I knew that was on your list somewhere.
Heck
I was wondering where it was.
Heck yeah. So this is like the first scary game I ever played. And I got down the like very first where you like come into, go through a fence from the street. and you're walking down the alleyway,
oh,
and there's that first zombie that pops up, and I nearly shit my pants as a kid, and I don't think I played that for 2 days, and I came back and I tried to play a little more and during the daytime, and it just it didn't end very well.
You make a mistake playing it at night.
Oh yeah, that was my first mistake. But my dad was like, "You got to play it at night," and I was like, "Okay."
Your dad said that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think he...
That's awesome.
I think we rented it.
That is awesome.
Nice. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to playing this game. Obviously, it's basically a remake. It's not a remaster, so kind of sucks. There might be microtransactions in it, but regardless, like, it's HD.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, it looks incredible. Like, people are like, what the heck is this?
I was just watching
Resident Evil 2.
I was just watching some of the gameplay, and it was, like, freaking me out still.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
so I'm afraid.
You should be.
Yeah, I don't play scary games. I refuse to play scary games now, and Amber will not even watch scary trailers. If there's a scary trailer, she's like, "Where's the remote? Why don't we?" I don't mean to embarrass her, honest, but yeah, she doesn't do scary. I don't do scary either. But
my girlfriend's the same way.
Yeah, she no.
Yeah,
we're not having it. All right, for me, number two is going to be Star Wars, The Jedi Fallen Order.
Nice.
I'm a Star Wars fan, and I don't even know what this game is about. Like, I haven't seen anything, but I want a new Star Wars. I don't care. I need something new. I play the Old Republic for a long time. I have like a 60 character out there somewhere.
Nice.
But yeah,
it's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Which one? Oh, is this the Respawn game? Is that what? That's the Respawn game. I was like, wait a minute. What is this game? That better come out this year.
That's what I'm saying.
I want that so bad because Respawn. That. So Respawn is like the Call of Duty guys. Like that's what their team is. And like Titanfall got way too much like flack for like didn't get enough appreciation. And I think Titanfall 2 is fantastic. Like
Titanfall's,
it was a great game.
Titanfall's pretty good.
And the story was really interesting. And like nobody hardly played the story, but I beat that game and it was awesome. They did a really good job with that. And I want to see more from them. I can't wait. So
interesting fact. I worked on the team that did the cover for the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Picture
Very
plane.
Nice.
They are right off of Arlington, like right here.
What?
Yeah. Oh, no way. Very cool.
We also did the Star Wars Battlefront 2. I helped with Lord of the Rings, the cover for that. Middle Earth Battle for Middle Earth did the cover for that as well.
All the cool stuff happens in Texas.
Yeah, it does. Right? It does. There's a lot of cool things. Like people don't realize it, but there's a lot of movies that comes through these parts. Lots of movies, lots of games, like lots of little studios out here that, you know, because Texas is so big, they're like, they seem far away, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on here. So that's why people are moving here. You know, it's a great economy.
Thank God for Texas.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brad, number one.
Number one. You ready for this?
Uh-oh. I hope it's not mine.
It's actually, because I don't know if Last of Us 2 is going to come out this year.
I don't know either.
And I've never played The Last of Us 1. No, I'm actually.
What is it?
What is it?
Anthem.
Oh, that is mine. It's probably his too.
It is not mine.
That is on
mine.
Have you seen the videos that have come out recently?
Yes, that's an honorable mention.
No, man.
That's an honorable mention.
So, okay.
I'm going to blow y'all heads off when I say mine.
So, I gotta make my case here. Like,
yes,
Anthem,
please.
Like, I mean, I love BioWare. Andromeda was terrible, but everything leading up to that was really good. I love their
Effect
stuff
story was
they
beautiful.
Have there. Yeah,
like
Mass Effect
story.
Was fantastic. And this, like, actually looks like a really cool version of, better version of Destiny, I'm hoping.
Better version of Destiny with, like, some Halo physics and, like,
yeah.
It's got a little bit of everything I think I kind of like about, like, mechs.
Yeah.
Flying mechs.
It's got, like, some
monsters,
Titanfall in there,
Titanfall,
you know?
Like, armor, suits, upgrades. I can do this.
Apparently, and like this, I was watching a video and the guy played it for like 4 hours apparently and got invited out to go through the whole game and said that there's a lot of loot. I was like, what? There's loot in the game? That's like cool? That's exciting?
That's all I care about is loot.
Yeah. Basically. But I don't know. I'm hoping so much that this is good and I think it will be. And like, we don't have a big multiplayer, massively huge thing that I can recall right now coming out this year that's like mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the big multiplayer.
This is the big Halo Call of Duty killer.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Yeah.
So that's my number one. Sticking to it. It looks great. Right. I love it.
You have any words on that? Are you agree with that?
Yeah, that would be my number one, but I guess now I can change mine to Gears 5. Like, I think...
if you want to.
Yeah, I haven't been back to the series since 3.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, and I think that was like the last one I played that was really fun. It had that cool co-op play that you could do, and it had online multiplayer as well too, right? So the Gears, it was very underrated because at the time it was competing with like Halo and Call of Duty. So like, it's like the other shooter that you don't think about. It's like the okay cousin that, you know, he's cool if he comes around.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that would be my number one now is Gears 5. I don't know how that came before Star Wars, but yeah.
Nice. Nice. So Austin, your number one pick.
I need a drum roll over here because this is going to blow everybody out of the way. My number one pick is The Outer Worlds.
Oh, okay.
By Obsidian.
Okay. I kind of expected that, actually.
I mean, it's Fallout in space. I mean, that's going to be way better than Anthem.
Dude.
Actually,
wait,
Obsidian,
way better than Anthem?
Yeah. Because Obsidian's a smaller company that's actually going to take the time, and it looks like they actually put the heart and soul into this game, unlike Bethesda did for 76 and for Fallout 4 to some degree. So, like, that's my biggest game I'm looking forward to at this moment. Now, if Death Stranding comes out or The Last of Us comes out, then, yeah, that's going to be my number one.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be game of the year. But right now, that's what I'm really pumped for.
The Outer Worlds is one of my honorable mentions.
Oh, man, what?
Yeah, yeah.
That's horrible.
No, I mean, just, again, I'm not a Fallout guy.
Still, but like, it's space. It's everything you wanted.
Well, that's true.
So
that is true.
Space guy,
that is true. I love space stuff. Like, I'm excited about Starfield because it's like, everything Bethesda's done in space, and I never really enjoyed Elder Scrolls or Fallout, but I think I could like Starfield because of that, and that's why I like Mass Effect. I don't really care much for Dragon Age, but I love the hell out of Mass Effect because it's
like,
in space.
The thing is, I like both. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm one of those guys like, I could be in space, but I could also be like a badass knight fighting some goddamn dragons. You know? I don't know. There's something awesome about both.
Now,
maybe just throw all of it into one.
I was going to say, what if you're a badass knight fighting dragons in space?
That would be awesome. Yeah.
All right. So real quick, honorable mentions for everybody. All
right.
So Outer Worlds, Rage 2 was on that list.
Okay.
And then whatever the next Pokemon's going to be.
Okay.
I want that now. Yesterday. Yeah.
Nice.
So those are my three.
All right. So my three would be Rage 2, Crackdown 3, and Anthem.
Uh-huh.
And all those deserve to be.
So all of our things are kind of like the same. It's just reordered more or less.
We see where our priorities here are. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So mine might blow your minds a little because I don't think they're even going to get talked about this year.
Interesting.
But Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, man.
Dang, an honorable mention?
Yeah, honorable. That's my...
Because you don't think it's coming out?
I don't think it's coming out this year. Yeah, I don't think are coming out this year.
Right.
Project Awakening. That game's going to be dope. And then there's Beyond Good and Evil.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Those are my three honorable mentions right there.
I would bet money that Beyond Good and Evil might come out at the tail end of the year.
I think it might. Bet on it.
Either that, or it's gonna get pushed on into like the beginning of 20 whatever the next year is. 2020.
At the least 2020.
Yeah.
The tech they're trying to do where you can like literally come into a planet and go in anywhere on the planet
seamlessly.
Hey, No Man's Sky, man. It's good. They got to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, true.
I don't know. But
the fidelity
if you can
that
say
they
that
wanted.
With a straight
bring
face.
Right, right. You know,
yeah. I mean, look
we,
at
we
freaking,
need a few more generations of graphic cards to get that point.
What's the other? Oh, sorry. My alarm's going off. What's the that other game that is really popular right now, making tons of money that's never going to come out? Star Citizen. There you go.
Hey, Elijah worked on that.
That's the one.
For a long time.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
And he's like, this is never gonna release.
Yeah. He's worked at like 10 studios since then. He's like worked at like Microsoft, but he's just been around. He's like, all right, that game's not coming out anymore.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
It's just like they're just getting money and just the funny thing is like this is the game that like anytime they drop a Kickstarter, they make their goal within like a day of like I'm just like people just want to see this game like millions. Like I think was it like 176 million or something like that they made just from Kickstarter. I'm like
It's up on like 200 some now. Well, they're not even on Kickstarter. They have their own. They made their own Kickstarter. They were just like, hey, we got our own thing.
All right, we just need our own Kickstarter.
They're making like money left and right. It's nuts.
By the time this game comes out,
it's like it's gonna be useless.
All the actors that they want in the game are gonna be dead.
Hey, it's apparently coming out this year or next year. One of the two. Within a year and a half.
See, game's been saying that. They've been saying that for like 5 years now.
Let's see what happens.
Right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for our top five most anticipated games. If you all have a game that's not on this list, let us know.
Definitely.
Let us know via our contact button on theinnergamer.net. And if you have questions or just want to contribute to next week's segment, visit theinnergamer.net and drop us a line. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our video game releases for next week.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week, let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have two games coming out next week, both on the same day, January 18th, as a matter of fact. On PS4, Xbox One, we have Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown, where you can become an ace pilot and soar through photorealistic skies with full 360-degree movement and basically be a badass in the air. Have any of you guys played this game before?
Yes.
Yeah?
One of my friends only comes over to play Ace Combat.
Really?
Remember, we had it on the PS3, and he's like, dude, this is the best game. And he flies like a pilot, so he flies it inverted. And he's really, really good. Like, he was like, if I could afford it, I'd buy the stick. And then I started working at the place I was working, and my coworker next to me comes from England. He bought like this crazy, like the pilot, everything, like the shift, everything. He bought it to play Ace Combat and like other space games, but like, there are fanatics out there. They love it. They buy the actual controllers. I don't know.
It's one of those games I'm surprised it's still around. But
I'm surprised, but people love
number seven, man. It's got some popularity.
It's so weird. Like farming simulator.
Yeah.
People play that game and it makes money.
It does.
We should make a game right now. It's called Poop Simulator.
It's called Poop Simulator.
You sit on a toilet and then
the funny thing
is, yet.
South Park did something like that where you play that, right? Where you
not
go
surprised.
And poop.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
You have to go and
you can't see my hand motions right now, but they're really weird.
Weird gestures. That was fun.
The other game coming out is exclusive to the Switch. This is Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes.
Not surprised. Sounds
anybody
like
ever play Travis Strikes Again or know this world
no,
or anything
I
like
that?
Apparently, it's setting in a small town, middle of nowhere in the American South. Badman shows up at the trailer Travis has been living in to exact revenge for the murder of his daughter, Bad Girl, and things go wrong. As they battle it out, the two are sucked into the game world of legendary game console, the Death Drive MK2. And then just things go crazy, and it's just all about death balls and Bad Man and Bad Girl and all this stuff. It sounds insane. It
sounds like Super Meat Boy.
It's got that a little bit. It's got a little bit of that. But those are the two games we got coming out. So that's The Calm Before the Storm, when Kingdom Hearts comes out the week after that. Oh, shit.
Kingdom Hearts is going to drop. There's a lot of fanboys out there going crazy right now for Kingdom Hearts.
Please donate to us because we are all broken. We're not reviewing any more games right now.
Yeah.
And
start reviewing free games.
Yeah, right. with that's going to wrap up our show this week. Thanks again, Ty, for being on the show.
Yo, appreciate
Before
that.
We close everything out, let us know where everybody can find you online. Give us all the social plugs.
Okay, you can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your local podcasts. Just shoot me a message. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter is Art of Struggle, @Art of Struggle. Shoot me a message, say what's up. I just talk CGI, games, the industry, anything you'd want to know about that stuff. Shoot me a question. I'm here. Thanks for having me, guys. This has been awesome. Like, you guys are really dope.
Thanks, man.
You're great, man.
Hey, it's been a blast. We've had a good time. And as always, be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or both. Tell a friend.
If you want to support us, our show, you can donate to our website, theinnergamer.net. All donations go toward making the podcast, videos, and events even better. Plus, you can also join in our conversation on our Discord channel. Check out the show notes for the link. I'm Austin Morales.
I'm Brayton Oski.
And I am Ty.
And you've listened to The Inner Gamer, guys. We'll catch y'all next week.
Let's do it.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
We shall do this.
What's one funny thing you could tell the audience about yourself?
Ooh, I don't know. This is very personal.
should you phone a friend?
Should you phone a friend?
Amber, what's one funny thing about me? I dance all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Like, no matter what it is, I'm always dancing. It's weird. I don't know why.
Do you dance?
I
like
think
in
it's
because
I'm African. Like, I dance all the time, like, constantly. Like, music is, like, it's either music's in my head or, like, there's always, like, the song. I'm always dancing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. That's
get
it.
Get a workout funniest without places even thinking about
you start dancing in or at.
Ooh, funniest places?
Or on or beside, wherever.
I dance, like, at very most, like, very uncomfortable situations. Like, we were at, like, a Christmas party with our friends, and, like, everybody was just kind of standing around, so I just kind of started dancing.
It's like, let's just do it.
How did everybody's you feel?
Like, and everybody started looking at it like, he just kind of dances, doesn't he? I was like, yep.
So now what kind of dances? Like, Fortnite dances?
Yeah, do the floss. I was like, what's funny about you guys? I'm the only guy sharing something personal?
Like, yeah. Let's see, my funny thing...
What is my funny thing?
I say stupid things at random times. Mm. Like, I'll say something really stupid, apparently every 20 minutes.
So, yeah, his nickname is 20 Minutes because me and my friend were hanging out with him one time. And it's like, he said something funny. I'm like, haha, okay, cool. And like we look at him like, fuck, it's 20 minutes later. He said it again. 20 minutes later, he said something. I was like, god dang, Brett.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
But you can't get any more in between there. It's just always in that 20-minute interval period.
Yeah, so refresh.
Great. Yeah.
Build yeah. up that stamina.
It's like my ultimate.
Your
it's
ultimate.
Like I gotta hold my ult. Wait for it to recharge. Then I'm back.
Don't pop
action.
It yet. Don't pop it. You got 30 seconds. Ultimate.
That'd be awesome if I had it on my watch. That'd be amazing.
Just put a 20-minute timer in.
Beep, beep, beep.
Hey, Siri. No,
the moon landing is fake.
No Siri.
Stupid.
Couldn't be in the country.
I always imagine like cities that Spider-Man could be in. I was like, he must have the worst time in Dallas because it's so small. He'd be like, well.
He's like, he has to like walk an Uber like parts of the way.
You go like 1 mile like, well, I'm done.
Or actually what you could do is create your own superpower where you become, you're basically like a Spider-Man / Fortnite character, so you can like jump up in the air, create a platform, and then create your own swinging platform. So you don't need buildings around you. You can just like start spawning rooftops everywhere.
But then I would just walk or run.
Well, yeah, but it's cooler to like swing around from like platform to platform.
I have to break other buildings along the way. They'd be like, "What are you doing,
hey,
Spider-Man,
doing, bro?"
That's true, but you know, you get infinite material.
I'm saving people.
You just broke people out of jail, fam. Like, what are you doing?
I guess you would need to get your materials you need to get, like, or material. Something. Yeah,
that would probably
that
be,
would
a,
be a hilarious one though. Like if like your power is like Fortnite power.
okay.
That would be awesome.